Oh, yeah, that was Shane. And, you know, there's so much truth in that song. You know, whatever you're doing, you can be involved in ministry, but without Jesus, it is empty, isn't it? You know what? It's just all going to burn. Well, we are very excited to have Shane Everett of Shane and Shane in the studio today and just sharing his heart for ministry and worship. Shane, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You are so, we are so glad to have you here. And you're all the way up here from Texas?
From Texas. Wow. Enjoying this wonderful weather you guys have.
Yeah.
It is pretty phenomenal right now, I must say.
It is a gorgeous state,
isn't
it?
It is. It is beautiful.
Well, tell us, bring us up to speed on what's going on with Shane and Shane.
Yeah, Shane and I, we have been busy bees lately. In the last year, we've released 13 worship records and one full-length record. So that's 14 records in 1 year, which I would not recommend to anybody to do, but it's all part of a bigger project called the Worship Initiative, where we're resourcing and training worship leaders to not just consider their craft or their instrument or how well they play, but ultimately their calling, and really using the Word of God and trying to really push that into the songs that we're already singing in church on Sunday, and just really kind of put that truth on their mouths so that when they're singing and speaking these great truths of the gospel and the faithfulness of our Lord, that people would be encouraged to know that the stuff that we're singing, we're not making up. It comes from the Bible, the very Word of God. And so that's our heart, to really train young, aspiring worship leaders or guys and gals that have been leading worship for years in the truth of the Scriptures.
What's behind that? Is there something you've seen going on in some of the churches out there that has maybe prompted you to go this direction?
Yeah. Well, we had a discipleship program and a songwriting class for young students in college. I guess that's not super young, but college students to come in, and we were doing these songwriting courses, and we'd work with these students for a couple of years. And what we found was most of the younger people were wanting to play music, but really didn't have a problem practicing the guitar, but they had a problem reading the Bible. And so that really kind of led us down a journey over about 4 or 5 years, where we really started asking questions, not just to these students, but to pastor friends of ours. And it felt like there was just a huge need for biblically literate worship leaders that were just as passionate about the Word of God and Jesus himself more than standing on stage singing songs. And we just felt there was a lot of resource out there for pastors to be trained, but there wasn't a lot of resource out there for worship leaders to be trained. Because we all are pastor teachers.
We're all in ministry.
We're all in full-time ministry. I don't care if you're working at, you know, Starbucks or a coffee shop, any coffee shop, or Walmart, or standing on a pulpit every Sunday. We're all called to be proclaiming and heralding the truths of our great Lord, you know, and calling people to repent and let the gospel go out and save people like it does, you know. We got to open our mouth. We got to speak truth. Yeah, so that's where it birthed.
You know, I think most of us, if we have visited around to a number of churches, you know, if we've moved and we're looking for a new church, I think most of us have probably had that experience where you're sitting in a so-called worship service, but, you know, it just sense it was more of a performance. It was more about, look how well we can put this show on, rather than really leading people to true worship of Almighty God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we've all felt that. And I don't think speakers and lights and big sound systems are bad. I think God uses those in huge ways. I think how we use them is, as leaders that stand on a stage, we need to be really mindful of how can we use these to glorify the Lord more than like these microphones in this beautiful studio you guys have. It's like, man, this is a tool.
Right.
This is an amazing tool that the Lord uses to bring and break off truths and impart them in the hearts of people.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same way with, you know, a beautiful church building or amazing lights or whatever, but it's just like how we steward those things. So when we're there on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Sunday night or whenever you meet as a congregation, it's just like, I think we need to be asking ourselves those questions. You know, the Lord has allowed us to steward these gifts. And man, how do we do this? How do people walk out knowing that Jesus is real and that he loves them more than, man, that was a killer guitar part. You know, it's just like we failed if that's what happens. So really asking ourselves the question, it's just like, man, we're here to help these people learn how to pray. It's like you get a great Hallmark card, you know, and somebody wrote something in a room somewhere that really, you know, it was like, that's amazing. And so when we lead worship, we want to say, hey, here's a Hallmark card that says something amazing in it to our Lord. Now, let's attune our hearts to write ours, to write what we want to say underneath. And how are we saying that in our prayer life? We want to teach people how to pray, how to sing, how to talk to the Lord in song. And ultimately, when they leave, give them the tools to be able to do that in their own private life. You know? We want to give people a vocabulary to speak and sing and talk and be affectionate towards Jesus, you know? That's what we want to do.
Yeah. You know, and I think like everything, people look on the outside appearance, whether it's the speakers, the video, the, you know, the sound system, or the heart, you know? God looks on the heart. And I think that's where it has to start with everybody, with all of us, especially those in ministry, as a worship leader, as a pastor. It's got to be that work of the heart. And all of the worship flows out of that.
Absolutely.
And being able to connect those to, not to yourself, hey, look at me, but it's like connecting them to God. That's what worship truly is, isn't it?
What we want to do, we want to set the table, and that's it.
Yeah. You know, Ravi Zacharias said that gratitude is a foundation of worship.
Amen.
You know, it all starts with that grateful heart. Wow, look who God is. Look what he's done. And that is true worship, isn't it?
Oh, man. You know,
and that can happen in a church. I know my husband attended a funeral service in a church where they didn't even have a sound system at all, no speakers, no anything, to, you know, the largest church, biggest mega church in the world. You know, that can happen in any setting. You don't have to have all the bells and whistles.
Oh, no.
But it comes from the heart.
Comes from the heart.
So again, tell us about worshipinitiative.com, what that is and how people can access it.
Yeah, so that's what we've been working on for almost 3 years. Every day, we go to the studio and we make training videos and write devotionals. And so what we've started with right now, there's 132 songs on the site. And so there's everything from guitar lessons, drum lessons on every, well, 132 songs. And then there's also boot camp sections. So it's practical, like tactical training on this is how, this is a drum fill, or this is a guitar part, or this is how you play in the Nashville number system. Or so a lot of practical training. But then we wrap all of these songs in the Word of God. So there's a 500 to 1,000 word devotional, a podcast, scripture referencing, so that if you're leading 10,000 Reasons for the 50th time on a Sunday morning, you can go in with your team and say, hey, we're going to read this devotional together, and we're going to see where these truths come from, because they're not, Matt Redman didn't make them up. He took them out of the Bible and put them in a song. And so it's just like, oh, okay, well, we're just not singing songs to the air. We're singing the very Word of God to a God who hears our prayers, you know? The biggest fear in my life is that I spent my whole life singing Christian karaoke. That's a horrible job. You know what I'm saying?
Be worse if I did it.
But I'm just saying, we are singing to a God who hears us, and we're singing a lot of his word back up to him. It's just like, so let's know where these things come from. And a lot of people who come on Sunday morning might not know that. They might think that, oh, that's a clever lyric. Well, you know what? The things that we're singing have been around for a really long time. And they're not just words. It's the very living and active Word of God that does something in the soul and the spirit that can't really be explained. The Bible says that he's placed eternity in the hearts of man. So when we hear these words that are scripture, it's just like deep calling to deep. It's just like something happens within the soul where it's like, oh, that's right. And then, oh, that's bringing my heart joy in a way that doesn't really make sense, because I'm having a really hard time right now.
Yeah.
But there's a peace that surpasses understanding that can over, it's just like that heart of gratitude. Even in the midst of adversity, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of cancer, we can have joy unspeakable and uncomprehendable to someone who doesn't have the Spirit. But that's the great thing about our Jesus. We know that we have a hope that is not in our bodies or in our bank accounts. It's in the joy.
Ultimate truth.
It's ultimate truth that one day we will be with him. And that's it's amazing news. It's the hope of the world.
Yeah. And that's why we all are doing what we're doing.
That's why we're doing it. And that's why we do the worshipinitiative.com, because we want people to hear that truth. We want that truth to be ingrained. We want to, you know, we want to renew our mind in it every day.
Yeah.
We want to renew our mind because we are so forgetful as a people. And we forget that he loves us. He's got goodness and mercy for us if we're his children. There's not a second of God's wrath in any situation for those who are called according to his purpose. There's not a second of it. And you can be encouraged in that today, that Jesus loves you and he has the best in mind for you. Even when it doesn't look like the best for us or to us, he's working it out. And that's good news.
Yeah. And you know, God's definition of good is not always what we think of as good. But I think the longer you walk with the Lord, you realize that those verses you just referenced, you know, Romans 8:28, yep, God works all things together, yep, for good. There's a deeper truth to all of that. And a lot of what you're doing now, you're using the Psalms,
mm-hmm,
and, well, they are songs, but
they are.
You're putting them to music. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we had a record come out in 2001 called Psalms. It was the first real, the first real record we did, or the first collection of songs we recorded. And Shane and I have always loved singing the Word of God. That's kind of been what we've wanted to do. We always feel like the Bible has a lot better things to say than we do. And they're truths that are eternal, you know, and not really opinions. And so we started to do another Psalms record. We love the Psalms, and we feel like they're so applicable in every season of life. So we just started digging in. We started digging into the Psalms and trying to, in the best way we could, put them to music, and we did it. And it's just 12 songs that came from the Psalms. So it's almost, most of them are almost word for word. And if we did change a phrase or something, we tried to keep the context really similar just to make sure it rhymed. For the most part, it's just scripture.
Yeah.
And we love it. We love it. It's so good, especially some of these coffee cup Psalms. I mean, when we've been playing these, we start reciting some of these scriptures and people always know them.
So you coffee know? Cup Psalms are...
So let's go Psalm 23. Like, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You know that, you know?
Well, you know, but when I was a kid, I thought that Shirley was a person and she was going to follow me all the days of my life. Seriously.
That's scary.
It was.
Well, that's scary. It's Shirley. She's coming for you. And there's other things. It's just like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yeah, that's the first verse in Psalm 23. That Psalm 23 also has another one that you know. It's just like, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. So if you are a sheep and you know the shepherd, it's possible to not want. Now, we spend most of our days wanting. I do, you know, and it's just like, man, I want this. Oh, man, I want some coffee. That would be so amazing. I had some coffee right now. Or I want, you know, whatever it is, you know, man, I want a new car. Man, I want a bigger house. God, I just don't have any room. Or, man, I want my bank account to be more. Or, man, I want that check not to bounce. That would be good. You know, it's just, I mean, you know, every day it's just like we're full of wants. Never content. And I think that if we can get that truth, if we could get that truth, that the ramifications of that truth, that because I know the shepherd, I don't have to want, it makes my marriage completely different. If I don't have to have the respect of my wife, if I'm able to love her the way that the scriptures tell me that I'm to love her, as Christ loved the church, you know, that I would lay my life down for her, that even though she was, I have a wonderful wife, by the way, I'm just saying that if she wasn't reciprocating, that I could get enough joy and enough peace and enough strength and enough life to give mine away for her.
Mm-hmm.
It changes a marriage and it changes relationships and it changes the way we speak to the person at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
It just changes all that. Because I have everything I need in him. I'm fulfilled. I'm satisfied. And that's possible if we go to the source. You know, the problem is we don't really believe that the source is enough. It's like it's God plus or God and or God dot, 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 whatever it is. But if we could get that first verse, then we would realize that goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. we would realize that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear because we know the shepherd. You know?
Yeah. If we could only grasp.
If we could only grasp truth. Psalm 23, there's a reason that Psalm 23 is on millions of coffee cups. You know? And yeah. And it's over door mantles and it's painted on pictures. And there's a reason that that scripture is so well known. And I used to just, even before we did this record, I would just be like, oh, I know that one. Mm-hmm. I know that one. Oh, it's okay. Mm-hmm. I know that. I memorized that one. Just out of osmosis because it's everywhere.
Right.
You know? But there's a reason that it's everywhere. And for us to, we spent some time in that psalm and really praying through that psalm. It's really caused a stirring of affections for Jesus by sitting in it. So Psalm 23 is amazing. I love it.
You know, and there's such a, as you know, an anti-Christian culture that we're living in. And I really believe that we as believers need to be strengthened in God's word and that foundation of truth to be able to stand and to stand strong in the days ahead. And
yeah.
I think it starts right here.
It starts there. You got to know it. You got to know it. And if you do it, it'll strengthen you.
Okay.
It makes you strong.
Couple things. Who we mentioned worshipinitiative.com. Yep. Who is that for?
It is for anybody who loves worship music, but specifically for musicians and for people who, you know, like playing worship songs or even listening to them. Like we have a lot of people who love worship music who just get on there and read the devotionals and do small groups. So they'll get the songs, they'll download them on their iPad or iPhone, and then they'll play them in their small groups. We get a lot of testimonies like that where people get in a room and they read the devotional and they listen to the song, and they're just, it's like a Bible study tool, you know? So that's one way, or youth group bands, which we didn't even really build it for youth group bands, but it feels like it's been one of the biggest things where a couple of high school kids get together and they get in a room and they each learn their instrument and they watch their videos and then they read the devotional and they come together and they talk about it and sing the song. So it's been really fun to see, we've been going for a couple of years, so it's been fun to read the emails and really see how the Lord's using it. It's been really, really encouraging to us. So pretty fun.
Well, take a minute and speak to the worship leader who may be listening or the future worship leader who may be listening right now. What would you tell them?
Oh, I would say, if I could say one thing, I would just say, guard your heart, you know? If the Lord affords you the opportunity to stand on a stage and proclaim his truth, it's stay grounded in the word because the applause of man is dangerous. It's dangerous. And we tell people all the time, especially the students that were coming through our program, it was just like, you got to know that for the heart, the stage is cancerous because the applause of man can drown out your hope in the Lord and make you feel like you like the claps and you like the exaltation, you know? So, I mean, that's my biggest fear. And I've seen too many of my friends make some really bad decisions over the last 18 years of us doing this, where they get on a stage and they start believing that they're kind of awesome, you know? And then it's like the shrapnel that comes from those explosions is very hurtful and damaging. And so I would just say, stay grounded in the word, know the Bible, get in community, have some people around you that you let speak truth into your life, because a man left to own his own devices is a dangerous man.
Yeah. And sadly, I think most of us have seen that too many times.
Yep.
So, yeah, stay grounded. We were talking about the psalm songs a few minutes ago, and we're going to take a listen to one in just a minute. But, Shane, thank you for being here.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
Really enjoyed meeting you and really appreciate your heart for true worship.
Yeah.
And to share that with the church today, because that's what we need, isn't it?
Thank you for having me. I hope it's what we... It's what we have to have. You know?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
what we have to have to really find the joy in life, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. We've been talking today with Shane Everett, one of the Shanes of Shane and Shane. So glad to have you here. And we're going to go out with Psalm 46. You want to do an intro for that psalm?
Oh, Psalm 46, amazing psalm. And the part that you know in this song is, be still and know that I am God. We know that, but where does that come from? And so we started digging into Psalm 46. in Psalm 46, in all the commentaries that I read, which there's more out there because I haven't read every commentary in the world, but comes from 2 Kings, and King Hezekiah in Judah is inside the city walls, and the Assyrian army is approaching. The Syrian army, they're just some deadly dudes. They've just been wiping people out. So they were terrified. They call on the name of the Lord. The Lord tells them, don't worry about it, go to sleep. And in the middle of the night, the Lord of hosts sends an angel, and he annihilates the Assyrian army. He wipes them out. They say like 185,000 men are killed in the night. Hezekiah walks up and walks out. The battle is over, right? There's no battle. He walks out, and then they sing this Psalm 46. This is the psalm that they sing over this. And it says, he breaks the bow, he shatters the spear, he burns the chariots with fire. And then a few verses later it says, and be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. And it's just like when I don't know what battle you're fighting or what the enemy has encroaching upon your city wall or your life or whatever. But we serve the God of angel armies. This is the same God that we serve. And one angel could kill 185,000 men, and we know the God who loves us, who's adopted us, who controls all things. We can be still and know that he is God and that he's got us and he's got you. No matter what you're going through or where you feel the enemy pressing in, that he's got you. And you can be still and know that.
Thanks, Shane. Here's Shane and Shane with Psalm 46.